It's Mark G. from San Diego.
I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. First of all, I'd like to say it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak here. I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, even though I don't want to do this, that when someone asks me to be of service, that I need to say yes. First of all, I'd like to say that I have a sobriety date, December the 28th, 2005. So I just celebrated 6 years of sobriety. I see some faces out here I know. I'd like to start off by saying, like, this is a gift, a flat-ass gift, excuse my language. I didn't earn my seat here, and I don't deserve a seat here. That's the way I feel. Somewhere in God's infinite wisdom, after throwing most of my life away, He found it necessary to give me another chance at life. Actually, He found it necessary to give me a few chances at life, because I didn't get this the first couple of times. So, I am an alcoholic, but I think it's important for you guys to know, out of respect for the media, I'm going to talk about alcoholism, but I'm a human garbage disposal at the same time. Anything that could change the way I feel or the way I felt, I was down for it. So I started off drinking at a very early age. I had my first beer with my brother on a river, probably 8 or 9 years old, and it progressed from there. My parents were the type of people that would kick my brother and I out of the house. And as long as we weren't in their hair, they didn't really care where we were, as long as we came home at night. So we would travel far from home. All through high school, from probably about the age of 13 on, I ran with the older crowd. And I would do anything to be accepted by that crowd, including stealing from my family, stealing guns from my uncle, all of his money, whatever it took to be able to get whatever we needed. So I was the cool guy of the bunch. I can tell you that, I can't really put things in order, but I know that, 20, 25 years of my life went by in a blink of an eye. I can remember things, but try as I may, and I've tried, I can't really put things in order. I've tried. I can remember them, but I just can't really put them in order. That's how life went for me. So I'm going to just jump ahead to recovery, because we all have the same story. So finally, at the age of 37 years old, I got arrested one more time, and I got sent to a federal prison. Not that old. In 2000, I got sent to federal prison, and I did a 40-month sentence, and I got out, and I couldn't stay sober. And finally, someone told me, look, here's your option. You can either keep going here, or you can go over here and try to get some help. And so it was a pretty easy thing for me to do. To accept the spiritual help or going to the bitter end was something I had to think about. But going to somewhere to get sober or going back to prison, that wasn't a real hard choice. So I chose to go get sober. And what happened was, is I came in here, and after fighting for a while, I surrendered. I heard men in this room. I heard women in this room. They got up and they talked about hope. They had peace. And for some reason, I believe what they had to say. I surrendered, and I just became teachable, and I remained teachable. And when I became teachable, I learned things. I'm an alcoholic, so what I learned about alcoholism for me, and I think it's important that everyone know that when I say I'm an alcoholic, it's because I have a body that does not process alcohol. I have a mind that doesn't believe it. So my problem is right here. You know what I'm saying? They also told me about the spiritual malady. Your selfishness, your dishonesty, your fear of life, all those things. I learned that. So it was pretty easy for me to take that first step. I found a man. I walked into a meeting one day, and I saw a man that I knew who was sober. And he wasn't sober when I knew him. And he's sitting in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it kind of blew me away. And I walked over and asked him, hey, you're sober? And he's like, yeah. And I said, how? He's like, I'll show you. And so that guy's been my sponsor ever since. He took me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous out of the big book. You know, he didn't sit and read the whole big book with me. He read some of it, but pretty much he left it up to me. We got down on our hands and knees. We did a third step. I did the fourth step, the fifth step, blah, 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 all the way through. On my ninth step, I've made a lot of amends. I still have some amends to make, some pretty big financial amends that I haven't tackled yet. But I've made amends with my family. I've had a brother die in a house fire. I've been through relationships in sobriety that didn't work, that did work. I haven't found it necessary to drink over those. Probably, this might sound weird, but the most satisfying amends I made was to a guy at a store that I used to get credit from. $9. I owe this guy $9. Okay. So I walk into his store one day, and he's back there busy because it's a busy place. And as soon as I walk in, I haven't seen the guy in like 4 years. So as soon as I walk in the place, he recognizes me. You could just see it on his face. And like the guy's blown away after 4 years, a scumbag like me comes in to give him his $9 back. It's $9. You know, you would think it's not a big deal. But it's like the most satisfying amends that I've made. And I made amends to my dad, my stepmom, my brothers, all my family. I made some pretty good amends, but that was the most satisfying one. And you know, what I do today is if another man wants to learn how to stay sober, or if he asks me to take him through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's what I do. Because, like I said, this was a gift that was given to me. And in order for me to keep it, I have to give it away. There are, I've been told, like, you know, I'm kind of vicious when it comes to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm kind of mean, but I don't believe, and this is just my opinion, I believe there's a lot of ass patting that goes on. Just me, it's just my opinion. I'm going to tell you like it is, you know, what your options are. You can either do this or you don't do this. And I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen to you, because it's happened to me. So I'm not going to hug you after 6 months and you haven't even taken a step and tell you that you're doing okay, because you're not. If you're new, if you're not new, if you're on the fence and, you know, you want to stay sober, like I'm not going to preach to you. But I will tell you what I do to stay sober. And I got a pretty good life today. Compared to a guy like me who at one point when it was that luxury, and then it ceased to be a luxury, and I don't know when that happened for me, but I do know it happened. The kind of guy who would not get out of bed to go to work. I couldn't get out of bed to do anything without having what I needed to have, and that's just the way it was. I got a pretty good life today. I've had the same job for almost 6 years. Coming up in August, I'll have the same job for 6 years. I help newcomers. I try to be of service. I always, you know, some of you guys might not get this, but for a guy like me too, you know, I've always got minutes on my phone. I'm the guy that used to have the cell phone, and you would have, you'd say, well, call me, and I'd say, oh, you call me, I don't have any minutes. You know what I mean? Because my money went other places. I had the cell phone, and I could act like I was talking to people, but I couldn't really be talking to people unless you called me. So that hasn't been a problem. I always have minutes on my cell phone. Like I say, I work for the same company. I have keys to the building. They trust me with locking the place up. They trust me with opening the place. I have the alarm code. And this is something I don't know if any of you guys can relate to either. For the first time in my life, like, I went to a car lot and I purchased a vehicle. Now, I've been sold cars before. You know, I go somewhere and you tell me what I can buy, because that's just the way it was. So for the first time in my life, I walked onto a car dealership, a Ford dealership, and said, hey, that's the car I want. that's the car I'm going to buy. And I left with that car. And that's all, it's, you know, just all because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And again, I'm the type of guy that, you know, I have a hard time believing, like, I know we don't come here because, like, they told me, you know, you're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's for victory over alcohol. So, and I know that. And, you know, I believe that's the only thing I can get here. But I also believe that if I stay sober, I can acquire material things. If I didn't want material things, why would I be sober? So I have a hard time believing that people that say they don't want material things, because I know I do. And I know if I stay sober, I can get those things. So we got some guy in the back telling me to wrap it up, huh? Is he the bell ringer? All right, I'm good. Thank you for letting me share. Amen.